Last week, we began a series of chapters. We're in the middle of Sha'ar Sheni, but we began last week with a series of chapters, which are all going to be about mitzvos. Last week was the mavo, was the introduction or the preface. And now we're ready for what is the first of these chapters in the section, although in the Sha'ar Sheni, it's technically Perek Shishi. It was posted in the WhatsApp group, thanks to David. In the WhatsApp group, for those who have the PDF, I actually put two prakim, because this one is actually so short. But the truth is, I think that the theme of the second parak is already a little bit different. And even though this one we'll do today is maybe the shortest piece we've done since we started the series, it might really in fact be. But the more I thought about it, the more he packs so many interesting and important ideas, even into a short chapter, that I think it's worth just doing this one slowly. And no one will complain if the shiur is a little shorter than usual. And knowing me, it probably won't be, but just in case. Anyway, self-awareness is something I'm working on. Anyway, so, says Rav Volbi, beautiful and to the point, halacha psukahi, clear-cut halacha, we should know, mitzvos srichas kavana. Person has to have intention, kavana, when they're doing a mitzvah. Now, right away, this should pique our curiosity, because, of course, the key phrase in that, the key word in that phrase is kavana. What does it mean that you have to have intention or kavana? So people often make a mistake, and they think this means all sorts of esoteric or kabbalistic or mystical kavanos. Or if you are more of a diehard rationalist, you want to think about what did the Rambam say in Mor Nevuchim, or what have you. All of those may or may not be enhancements to your mitzvah experience, but none of those are what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about something much more fundamental, much more basic. Hainu, he continues, Sheyichaven l'kayim b'zeh kasher tziva Hashem. The basic idea of mitzvah shulchas kavana is you have to be aware when you're doing it that you're doing it because it is a mitzvah. Not out of habit, not out of rote, not because it just might seem like a good idea, but you're doing it because it's a mitzvah. That itself is kavana. That is what gives meaning to the mitzvah. And as I think I spoke about a little bit in the second half of the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha this year, it is, if not exactly the same, but it certainly overlaps with what has become a very, very popular and very meaningful concept that is discussed a lot, both in actual world of psychology and certainly in more popular psychology and in popular culture now, what they call mindfulness. The idea of being mindful, of being aware of your experiences and surroundings, not just kind of floating through life, but being present and in the moment. You're aware you're doing a mitzvah. You know, I think I may have said at the time, certainly, you know, for considering that we're having this post-chakras shir, you know, that for many people, as they're kind of, you know, saying brachos or putting on their tefillin in the morning, let's just say it's an area that could use work when it comes to mindfulness, right? Or mentioned not long ago, for example, benching, right? It's one thing to have kavana when you're in Shmon Esrei, at least you're in shul, and you're thinking and you're quiet, right? Benching, you may be around with lots of people, you're at the table, right? Benching is even, you know, so that's number one. But then he goes into something which is, for the rest of this paragraph, which is, you know, also very fundamental, not esoteric. We're talking about baseline, but it's so profound and it's worth also a serious meditation on. And that is, V'chol ha-mitzvah u-mitzvah ha-mizdamenet l'fnei adam, any mitzvah that comes your way, you know, sometimes it's things that are built into the schedule of the day or built into the schedule of the week or the month, and sometimes you happen to be going somewhere and all of a sudden, you know, someone says, hey, we're having a shir, you want to stay, or can someone help this old lady cross the street kind of thing. Sometimes mitzvahs just come up, but whether it's a mitzvah that you were predicted to, or, you know, experience, or it happened to come up, either way, dorna hu, which is, right, a doran is a gift, it's a matana hu. The shudder lay kuchabrichu, right? It's all about perspective, right? Do you see the mitzvos as 613 obligations, 613 burdens? That's one perspective. Or you could see it as a matana, as a gift, as an opportunity. Now, we're going to tease this out and really think about this in a moment, but let's first just finish the paragraph, because you might be saying, listen, what's the difference? If I did the mitzvah the right way, what's the difference if I thought I was doing it because I'm so, you know, happy to have gotten this gift, or because, I have to do it. So right away he tells us a very, very famous tradition in the name of the Arizal. He quotes the source of this as the Sefer HaCharedim, who was somebody who lived at the time of Rav Yosef Karo, lived in Sfat, wrote a book of mitzvot, Rav Elazar Alkalai. But if I remember correctly, I think this is in other Svarim as well, also, I think, from that same time period in Beis Medrash in that Svat period. But either way, it's a well-known tradition in the name of the Arizal. Gila l'ish sodo, you know, the Arizal had all sorts of mysterious friends and angels and other people he was in contact with. And apparently, in a moment of self-revelation, said the Arizal, you know, probably the most influential person in Jewish mysticism, shekol ma shehisig, everything that he was able to accomplish in his magnificent, you know, uniquely unparalleled spiritual mystical life, shniftachu lo shari chachma v'ruach hakodesh, right? He says, I got to be honest, you know, all the gates of wisdom were open to me. He had ruach hakodesh. Why did I deserve all that? How did I accomplish such unparalleled spiritual accomplishments? It was all, in his own opinion, his self-reflection, b'schar shahaya sameach ba'asiyas kol mitzvah simch gedola le'ein tachlis. Was it because he went to the mikveh 18 times a day, and it wasn't because he had this chumrah or that chumrah, or learned all day? Maybe those things are all true. But in his estimation, the key accomplishment that led to every other accomplishment in his life was his unbridled joy at doing mitzvos. Simcha zu, says Rav Volbi, eino chitzonit, el hibbonut b'matnat ha-mitzvah, v'godel ha-mitzvah ba. It's not some cherry on top or something external. It's intrinsic to the experience if you truly appreciate just how unique and special the opportunity is. And this, I think, is absolutely, absolutely crucial. As this is not about any more or less work, doing more things, depriving yourself of other things. You know, there's enough of that in Judaism. This is actually, you know, not about changing a single thing you're doing. It's about changing your mentality while you're doing it. And it's such a small thing. You cannot even put your finger on it. It's all internal. It's psychological. It's emotional. But it literally would completely redefine one's life and completely redefine one's experience in relationship to Torah and to Hashem. I think many, many years ago, the first time I even thought about this, I must have been 18 or 19, maybe I was 20, I don't know, I don't think I was 20 yet. I was in yeshiva, and I was reading, I think that might have been, it was way before there were any Rabbi Fran books, but there was just Rabbi Fran tapes. It's like a chiddush atzel, Torah tapes. I know I'm dating myself, but okay, I'm old. Torah tape, right? Now people don't even know what's a tape. Right. No, it was not. I was able to listen to it on my Walkman with earphones, big fuzzy earphones. They didn't know. If you said earbuds, no one would know what you're talking about. Anyway, and I don't even know if these were like professionally made tapes yet. I think this might have been like a shmooze he gave in there, Yisrael, and some recorded. I don't remember. But eventually it got put into, I think, his first book. If I remember correctly. Anyway, the image, which he was so powerful to me, is he described the opposite of this. He says, unfortunately, so many frum people, especially if you grew up frum, unfortunately, so many frum people are what he called taxpayer Jews. Obviously, it should go without saying that we pay our taxes. We wouldn't chas v'shalom cheat on our taxes. We're honest, and we're chayav to be honest in business, of course. But, said Rabbi Fran, no one looks forward to paying taxes. No one is happy about paying taxes. And if your accountant can give you a good etza how to legally pay less taxes, of course, you're going to want to do it. Why wouldn't you? Why not? He says there are people who go through life as taxpayer Jews. That's how they look at the mitzvos. They have no quibbles with Hashem. They're not fighting. They know they have to do it. But it's a burden. And if someone could just give them an etza how they could do a little less, they'd be happy to do that. But even when they're doing it, it's like you making that check to, you know, paying that check to the IRS to tax. No one's enjoying it. That's the exact that's what you could be. Two people could be indistinguishable on the outside. They both put on the same minyanim, they both put on the same tefillin, they both put on the same shiurim. And for one person, it's what a gift, what an opportunity. And for other people, it's oy, what a burden. So it is, again, who am I to say what the reward is? The Arizal thinks that the reward is, you know, who knows, endless. But certainly we can appreciate, if we think about it, just how significant a difference that is. And the truth is, like almost everything else that's important in life, it's intangible, right? What's more important than love or happy, right? It's actually the things that you can't touch and feel that are the most important things in life. So you can't touch this. It's not a tefillin, it's not a shofar, it's not a sefer, but it may be the single most important thing in your avodas Hashem, is getting yourself into that mentality. Just recently, I was listening to a shir by Rabbi Bezalel Radinsky, who's a great Talmud Chacham from Muncie, who I happen to be a massive fan of. We once hosted him in our shul, Vischus Morty's in-laws, who are cousins, which is based on one of the well-known rules of Jewish life, which is that the Shulmans are related to everybody famous and everyone brilliant. So Rabbi Radinsky checks both of those boxes, so of course, why wouldn't the Shulmans be related to him? And Vischus him, we had him for a Shabbos, and I was listening to a tape. He has an app. There's a Rabbi Radinsky app. I have it on my phone. And I was listening just yesterday to a shir, and he was talking about this basic point. Sometimes there's hashkacha. We're up to this parak in Ali Shor, and Rabbi Radinsky was discussing this in a completely different context, in Pirkei Avos. Anyway, but he gave a moshel. I thought it was a very, very powerful moshel. He said, the shir was a few years ago. It's not a new shir. But he said, imagine a person, so to speak, you got into Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. And you came for who knows whatever the reason is, and maybe he was in a particularly good mood, or maybe this is pre the bua stage, but he gave you more than 4 seconds, and he actually asked you where you're from. And let's imagine we're speaking locally now, who's dramatizing that you're flying back to Muncie or something. But let's say you just said Ramat Beit Shemesh. Now he said, oh, Ramat Beit Shemesh, I have to get something to somebody. Could you do me a favor? And he gets up, and he goes back, to his And he comes and says, this envelope or this package, could you deliver this to so-and-so? He said, of course. I don't want to bother you if it's too much. And he's thanking you profusely. And what are you genuinely and honestly saying? On the contrary, it's my pleasure. It's my honor. Right? And then when you'll go and give it to his daughter, whoever's living in Rabbi Chemesh, and they're going to thank you, be like, are you kidding me? And you're just going to accidentally tell all your friends? Just happens to come up in every conversation. Oh, so your kid broke his leg. Yeah, but did I tell you? Did you hear? Right? It would be like the most unbelievable privilege that he asked me to do something for him. So that's mitzvos. Is he doing us a favor, or are we doing him a favor? If we appreciate them as a gift, wow, he asked us to do something for him. What a gift. It completely shifts our mindset. Obviously easier said than done. And this itself is it's not the only thing, but it may be one of the classic things which is uniquely challenging, the longer you're more religious. Right? Someone who's new to observance often feels this way innately, instinctively, and this is also part of the Baal Tshuva passion. But the longer a person is religious, and especially if they were born into it, and they happen to also be a teenager, it can be obviously more challenging. We're not going to crack the code for how to get through to our teenagers or even to ourselves. That's not this type of chabur. We're not the recipe or the code for how to break that is one question. But that at least we should know what the goal is. I think it's very, very powerful. Next paragraph. Omel hamitzvah mechayev diktuk rab. On the other hand, he says, listen, to do a mitzvah right, you got to be very, very careful. You got to know a lot. Why? Kei lezakos letzuras hamitzvah kivi halacha. Right? You have to know exactly, to what extent is Hashem mitzaref machshava tova lamaisa. I just posted a chabur, a short share on my WhatsApp group, specifically about this idea. It was actually for the people in Chutzlart still doing B'chu Kosai, but it is a great idea from Levi Yitzchak Bartishev on B'chu Kosai about how Hashem, gives so much value even when we try to do the right thing, even if we didn't do the right thing. So, okay, that I'm not denying any of that, but to the extent that we actually want to get it right and do the mitzvah right, you got to know what exactly the details are. We're not just a mushy-gushy feel-good religion, right? We do believe there's a right way to, if you only have three parshas in your tefillin, you don't have tefillin, right? And if you don't have the box made the right way, right? You have to know. It takes a certain amount of effort, intellectual or sometimes even physical, to do the mitzvah right. On the other hand, if a person, instead of trying to get it all right and work hard, what's the opposite of that? Hamachapes kulas basiyas ha-mitzvah. So if a person's running after kulas, simonhu. Kiterem kibel al atzmo ol mitzvos. And I think it's going to be even more clear in the next paragraph, but clearly what he's pointing out, I think it goes without saying, it's obvious, he's not saying that there can never be a leniency, that there can never be something that's allowed or permissive. Again, he's talking attitudinally. If a person's whole attitude is, give me the least possible, give me the biggest kula, clearly, I think undisputably, it indicates perspective of from where the person's coming. And it's clearly not what a privilege, what a gift. Because when you get a gift that you really love, you want more, not less. Right? When you are having that kind of experience, you know, in a hotel or something, you're like, you know, is it possible to get the eighth night free? Like, we're not in a rush to leave, you know, if you... And the other times, it's like you can't get out of there quick enough. Right? It's about your attitude, right? Rav Soloveitchik used to speak about that in terms of Shabbos. Right? It's not a question. Halachically, you could discuss, you have to make early Shabbos, is it good to extend Shabbos, how quick, when is Rabbeinu Tam, 72 minutes. You can discuss all those things. Right? And they're all legitimate. But on the attitudinal level, are we excited so the Shabbos is over because we got great Motzei Shabbos plans? Or is like, oh man, Shabbos has to end. All good things come to an end, but chaval, if I could just have a few more minutes. It's an attitude. So a person who's looking for kulas, it reflects an attitude that clearly they don't get it yet. Ikari HaMitzvah, after all, he says, one of the key points of mitzvos is, L'rachek shvira leiv ulachios lefi sidri hachayim shekava lano borei haolam. Right? On some meta level, the purpose of Torah mitzvos is not to live one's life, you know, either haphazardly or just based on an exaggerated sense of self-autonomy, whatever I want, but rather based on the rules and principles and, so to speak, the schedule of the Torah. Harot zalachio b'shurat libo beheter Torah b'chipos kulas terem yodea mahi Torah. In other words, you have what he's referring to in his own language is what is most famously stated by the Ramban in Kedoshim to you, that a person wants to be a novel versus a Torah, right? A despicable person, mit a hechsher. Of course, I would never eat the wrong thing or whatever, but I also want to be a glutton. Right? Many, many years ago, one of my teachers in NYU, Rabbi Shalom Karmi, I think it was in Tradition, he published an article, you know, about, because it was for a while, there was a kosher Club Med. Now, I have to admit, I don't exactly know what happens at Club Med, but I was medayik from the article that evidently it's quite hedonistic. So, but if we could just get the right hashkach on the meat, somehow everything else becomes okay. Sudas Achashverosh in every level becomes okay. So I'm not isolating a particular thing, and I'm certainly not advocating asceticism and that people should never enjoy life. But his point is, if a person is running after that kind of life, but just make sure it's got a good hashkacha, and just make sure, you know, they have the Shabbos elevator going to work, and make sure that the people at the hotel staff know that, you know, they have to push the elevator button or they'll open the door for me because everything's electronic. I'm not saying, again, it could be if you're in, it could be it's legitimate to go to such a hotel, and it could be that you need to talk to the staff beforehand. I'm not saying not. But if your whole life is running after the next pleasure and the next pleasure and the next pleasure, in other words, if it looks like the ads from current Jewish magazines, right, in which all of Judaism is embodied in that shtick steak. You know, the steak is bigger than everything else in the whole magazine. You know, and on the bottom words, you know, come to the shir tomorrow night, you know. So you're missing something. That, you know, you could decide for yourself how much you're missing, what's the best balance. But if that's the focus, you're missing something. On the other hand, and this is, of course, not a surprise because Revolbi is very balanced, which is why we love the Sefer. He's normal and he's balanced. On the other hand, Ulam, if running after kulas is bad, gam lahachmir al atzmo, beloshe nifsak lahalacha, rishai, rak adam godol b'torah. He says, listen, if a person is just running after chumras, that's not necessarily appropriate for him either. Yes, Judaism is multi-layered and complex. And again, to use an example of a person that we mentioned before, and is an extreme example, admittedly, what was appropriate for Chaim Kanievsky is not necessarily appropriate for you. You have to know who you are. You have to know what's appropriate and what's on your level and your relationship to Hashem. I just recently, I know, another one of my apps is the Rabbi Lopiansky app. And he spoke numerous times about Chaim Kanievsky, and almost every time, especially Dafka, he was speaking to kids in his high school in Silver Spring and in other places, and I even just heard him now speaking to some Mechanchim in Columbus, he felt that the message that so many schools had been giving for years, and even were giving more recently, of, you know, if you just do this, you could be the next Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. He said, it's terrible. You shouldn't talk that way. Once in a generation, if you're lucky, there's a person like that. How could you educate kids that way? It's terrible. You have to know who you are. You have to have aspirations, but they have to also be realistic aspirations. And if a person has no sense of that, says Revolbi, that's arrogance. That's not healthy. That's not religious. Either that's actual arrogance, or yura, or at best, it's michzei ki yura. Some of you maybe know, there's a famous Rav Schechter story. I don't remember do you remember the detail?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll give the punchline first and Nathan will fill in the detail. But somebody came over to Rav Schechter and they asked him about something and they said, Rebbe, is this mechse ki yura? Does this look like yura, which is a halachic term? Like, don't do it because it looks a little bit maybe not appropriate for you. Is this mechse ki yura? He said, no, it's yura. It's not mechse ki yura. It doesn't look like yura. It is yura mamish. What was the thing?
Someone wanted to wear their tefillin and talis walking from their dorm room or house to the basement.
Okay, there you go. Right, so now it's a Shulchan Aruch, right? It's a thing in Shulchan Aruch. And it used to be people would walk through the streets with it. But it's not our minhag anymore, especially not in Golis. People don't do it. Some people have to right outside the Beis Medrash put on their tefillin, but to walk through the streets of New York. So it's not just mess. You have to know who you are. It's a mistake. Let's just skip now to the last paragraph. I told you, even though this is such a short piece, there was so much here today. So he says, at the end of the day, what this is all trying to give us an appreciation for is how much there is, how much power, how much potency, how much potential, in even one mitzvah. To get it right. Not to be too mekil, not to be too machmir, to have the right attitude about it. There's a lot going on in every mitzvah. And this brings us, and this will conclude, to the famous Rambam. The Rambam is in Perish HaMishnayis and Masech Damakos, and it's on the phrase, which we know, Rotzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael. So the simple understanding of that is because Hashem loves us and He wanted to give us many opportunities to get lots of points. Lazakus is Israel. Therefore, He gave us many, many mitzvot. That is to say, instead of just saying there's only one way you can make me happy and only one way I can reward you, now you have 613 ways. There's even more ways to get reward. Right? It sounds like the basic statement of Chazal is, listen, yes, you have to do a lot of mitzvos, but don't worry, it's because Hashem loves you, that's why He gave them to you, because they're opportunities for reward. The Rambam very famously has a different take on it. Says the Rambam, you have to understand, as a Ikar Emuna, it's not one of the 13 Animamans, but he calls us an Ikar Emuna right here. Kashi Yekayim Adam Mitzvah Mitaryag Mitzvahs Keroi Ukahogen. If you do a mitzvah totally right, now again, maybe in our lives we've done this once, you get not only every halachic point, but every psychological, spiritual, hashkafic, you did a mitzvah exactly the way it's supposed to be done. No ulterior motives. Not 10%, not 20%, zero. Totally pure religious experience. If a person could do one mitzvah perfectly, zacha balachai olam haba. One mitzvah is enough. You don't need all 613. You really only need one. You need to get it right. What is Chazal saying? So I'm saying, listen, I know you only need to do one. But if I pick the only one would be kashrus, maybe that's going to be too hard for you. You could do it, but maybe you can't do it. You know. And then if the only one was Talmud Torah, maybe certain people are more intellectual, some people wasn't. So therefore Hashem says, I gave 613, which of course is a metaphor because it's a lot more, 613, many different shades of mitzvos. Some are more this, and some are more that, some are better. You have it's the ultimate shmorg. Right, the ultimate buffet. Yeah, some people like lamb, some people like, you know, and there's even a milk. You, trust me, you can find one. That's Ras Hashem Azakos is Israel. Says the Rambam. Hashem gave us so many opportunities so that everyone hopefully can find their one mitzvah. If you do the one mitzvah, says the Rambam, he says, the Rambam's right. Says, everyone can find that one. That at least once in their life, they do it correctly. So, how do we find out? And what is the, I don't know. But it's clearly a good approach. It makes sense that the Revolvi is ending the chapter with this point, because if the Rambam can say that even one mitzvah done right would be enough to get you a ticket into Olam Haba, that is an incredibly dramatic and powerful way of underscoring the whole point of this chapter, which is how important even one mitzvah is. Shabbos.